streets of gold, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, the city will be rolled, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, we'll be washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption's story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Sing when the redeemed are gathering in. We'll be washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet. Blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Sing when the redeemed are gathering in. We'll be washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing, Lord, Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Sing when the redeemed are gathering in. We'll be washed like snow and free from all sin. I will shout and I will sing, Lord, Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in.
Amen. Amen. Are you redeemed? Let's have Brother Luke help us with the offering today. Let's turn to number 25. Sing, I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsake and take me, Jesus, take me. Amen. Let's stand. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And all to Jesus I surrender. May me, Savior, holy thine. Let me feel the Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord. I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love. In power, let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender now. I feel your sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation, glory, glory to his name. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Let's sing this chorus as Brother Colley gets up for the reading. We're together again. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is bound to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is bound to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Just praising the Lord.
Thank you. happened that people didn't see to start with. What I'm trying to say is the life that you live is your testimony in death. I have seen people, they lived, and when people begin to testify of the life they live, they really ain't got nothing to say. Because the way they lived is so righteous that nobody really want to testify of the life they live. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 123 and 124. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather this morning, Lord, as the song said, we're together again. Let it be one accord that we are gathered. Lord, let us gather with our hearts and our minds open and yielded unto Jesus Christ. Lord, for the words that we read and testify of, Lord, let them become a part of us. Lord, let us be strong according to the words that we live. Lord, if Satan try to tempt us and turn us aside, Father, we pray that we would yield ourselves unto you and reach out and take a hold to your word. God, for you to love us all, and you give us that which we have need of if we will accept it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 123 and 124. Unto thee I lift up my eyes, O thou that dwelleth in the heaven.
Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden look into the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until the day of mercy upon us.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with content.
Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, how may Israel say?
If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us,
then they has swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us.
And the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our souls.
Then the proud waters had gone over our soul.
Blessed be the Lord.
Our soul has escaped as they hired out of safe followers and shared broken our escape.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Amen. God bless you. I lost my glasses before I started this morning, so sorry about that.
I'm going to turn the service over to Brother Wade at this time. So open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh Jesus, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh Lord,
I want. Good job, buddy.
To see you high and lifted up. shining in the light of your glory.
We love him today.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. I lift it up,
shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. See you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Man, good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I can't see a pew. It's all people. God bless you. You can be seated. We got a few things we got to go over. Number one is we got a baby dedication today. Brother Alex and his wife, would you all would come up, please? Mm-hmm. Come on, we'll do it now, Dad. Come on. Well, Brother Alex approached us several weeks ago about the baby, dedicating the baby, and I think we should dedicate them, give them to God. Yeah, stand there. Give them to God. Let's sing, bring them in. Come over here on this side so they can take pictures. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. You don't get to do this, I do. Amen. Bring them in. Bring the little ones to Jesus. Amen. This is Sister Rachel Gabriela Castillo. Is that right? This is Brother Alex and his wife and the two. I'm not going to tell everybody. We know who these people are. Come over this way. Come on. Don't be scared. This is your daughter. Come on, come on over this way. So, Brother Dale's going to pray over the baby, and we're going to dedicate her to the Lord. Yeah, that's your daddy. I know that. Don't cry. There's your mama's right over there, okay? It's okay. Man, she's heavy. Come on. All right, Dad. Look. Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we've come to the time that we've actually given back to you this little one.
Yes, Lord.
That was given to us.
Amen.
Lord, we cover it under the blood of Jesus Christ. And knowing, Lord, that there's all hopes, all
in you.
Is in you.
Amen.
And we commit it to thee and the dedication. We dedicate each other.
That's right.
We dedicate ourselves.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
We dedicate our lives.
Yes, Lord.
All before this little one.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we commit it to you. Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's give her a round of applause. And she's going to start crying, so we're going to give her back. This would be Sister Rachel Gabriela. Oh, God bless you.
Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Oh, bring them in. Bring them in. Bring the little ones to Jesus.
Amen. We don't believe in infant baptism, but we sure believe that Jesus had to rebuke his disciples one time. He said, hey, let them alone. I like little kids. Let them come on. Amen. So just stay seated for a minute because we got a few things we need to go over. Number one, I know a lot of you don't know Brother Bill Rostron, but he is a brother that did a series on the cloud, and he's also Sister Sharon Black's father. He had a massive heart attack yesterday, and they did surgery, and he's better, but he's still not out of the woods yet. They said he had what was called the Widowmaker, and he should not have made it. So he's here for a reason. Amen. So we're just going to keep him in prayer. He's still in the hospital there. I think they had to fly him to Greenville or to a hospital there in Greenville, and they are taking care of him as much as the doctors can do. But we know the great physician. Amen. Amen. And he did a real good job on the cloud. I know Brother Joe's been working with him for months on this project. And if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. Amen. Because it will explain a lot about the cloud. He explains from a scientific standpoint. He is some kind of an engineer. He works for some nuclear plant or something, isn't it? So he's in education. So he's highly educated, but he breaks it down enough so that we, us people can understand it that didn't go to nuclear college. So, but it pretty much proves it's scientific. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt spiritually that it happened. The cloud happened. That cloud happened for me. Amen. It was a sign. But you know, to believe the sign people are trying to tear it down. So they can tear down all they want to. That won't bother me one bit. Amen. But Brother Bill, they always said it was and even for years they said it was a rocket that went up in this plume. Well, he proved how many millions of gallons of water vapor, because this thing is 20-something miles wide and 30-something miles high and all that stuff, and one little rocket. He even shows the rocket that went up, and it don't give off much more fumes than your car does going down the road. So they're saying like 26 million tons of ice crystals it took to make this cloud, the diameter of the cloud, and one little rocket's going to do it. No, it was the Creator that did it. He put that thing up there, and he put it up there for us as a sign. All right? Good to see Brother Benjamin back from college. He looks smarter already. Good to have you back with us. We see Michael all the time, so okay. All right, so let me get through my announcements. Practice between service. If you're singing the song, whatever y'all are singing with Sister Trudy and Sister Christine. Okay, practice after we get finished with the service today. Everybody got that? All right. Also, remember that this afternoon we're going to pray for Brother Luis and his family. We're going to gather him up around here, and we're going to pray for him and his family. They're going to be gone on a 7-week mission trip. Thank you for the support you gave them, the monetary support. Now it's time to give them prayer support. Amen. Put something up every day that reminds you to pray for Brother Luis and his family. Amen. That the Lord will protect them. And good to have Sister Yvain's fiance with us. God bless you, brother. Good to have you with us. Good to have you here. Because it looked like they're fixing to shut the borders again over in South America over there, or in Africa. So thank God that we got him here. I know Sister Yvain is. So, and we're going to have a wedding. That will be on December the 12th. All right. December the 12th, we'll have one service. We'll have the wedding at 2 o'clock. Make sure you're here. And then, brother, did you interpret that good enough? Okay, all right. You sure? He's shaking his head. He don't know. But he's learning how to, you can learn how to speak English, brother. You're over here now. But you need to sign up for the reception. There'll be a reception at 6 o'clock in Gainesville. We'll give you the address, but you need to sign up downstairs on the refrigerator if you're going to attend the meal or the reception, not the service. Yeah, Virginia. Because we need a head count. They need to know how many. Somebody's preparing it for her. Thank the Lord. She's got some friends that will help her do that. And then we're going to have the service here at 2 o'clock. No second service. We'll have the... What a wedding to have for a second service. Not too bad. Amen? And then we're going to have that, and then we'll go to the reception. So make sure if you're going to come to the reception, put your name down on the sign-up sheet. And that will be at 6 o'clock. All right. Also, remember that on December the 1st, Brother Aaron, you'll be preaching. I think that's what we got down there. And then December the 5th, this coming Sunday, I'll be at Brother Richard Hyatt's preaching. I'll be in Illinois for a few days. I'll be leaving Wednesday and coming back on Sunday after I get finished. So I've got to call in to Brother Martin Varela. You know, everybody knows Brother Martin. And he's going to let me know if he can do both services on Sunday. So we may get him to do that. If not, show up. Somebody will preach. Brother Bob and Brother Aaron are put on notice, so they know that. Okay, so now on December the 8th, Brother Bob will be preaching. December the 12th, one service, and we'll have a wedding. December the 19th, we'll have dinner at Hidden Acres. We will go from here, have one service, go from here and drive down to where we were last year, and it will be a catered dinner, and then we'll have, there's going to be several people that's going to do some shows or sing or skits or something about Christmas down there at the barn, and then the lunch will be catered by Amanda that catered it last year, all right? So also remember on December the 26th, we'll just have one service at 11 o'clock. I know a lot of you are going to be gone. That's okay. It's a holiday. We'll have one service starting at 11 o'clock. That's the day after Christmas, all right? December the 29th, there'll be no service. That's on Wednesday because we're having a Friday service, which will be watch night service. Brother Chris Long will be there with us for the whole weekend. So, and we'll keep announcing this as we keep going. So, if you want to stand to your feet, we'll get started. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Isaac, Sister Tabitha, Brother Micah and Sila. She felt better this time. I thank you. Thank you that she felt better. But they're going to be traveling back today. They came from Ohio. Remember, they were with us 2 weeks ago. They'll be traveling back right after the service. They'll be leaving because they've got about a 9 or 10 hour drive to upper Ohio to get home so that they can get the kids in school. I know the kids hate that, but get the kids in school for Monday. So just pray for them, and thank you for coming, guys. And we had a wonderful time of fellowship, and I know they feel right at home. Amen. Amen. They feel right at home, and I want to thank Brother Boyd and Sister Janet for putting them up both weekends and having some fellowship with them. So thank you for that. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of John. We'll continue our thought on who is this Son of Man. This will be part 10. I know these things, sometimes you just have to keep announcing them, and we will. But just keep everybody in your prayer because this is a time of travel. Everybody's going to be going somewhere. And thank you for praying for me. They've got my blood pressure kind of, sort of, okay. So, but we know the great physician. We don't worry about that. If they give us a pill to take, we take it, all right? I know we all have our ailments and everything else, especially as we get older, but we're looking to him, the author and finisher of our faith. And like what Brother Dutch was preaching last Sunday, which is a real good job, it has no limitations, and it has, we put all that on faith. Faith has no limitation. Faith has no boundaries. It has no, well, if you'll do this, I'll do that. No, that's not God. God don't do that. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord, the opportunity to stand before the purchase of your blood. Lord, if you'll settle us now a little bit, come among us. You teach the people. You give them revelation because without you, Lord, it's nothing. Father, be the active participant in this service, Lord. You take over and you say what needs to be said, Lord. I ask you to be with each one, Lord, that's sick and not with us today, Lord. We pray that you just be with each one there. Each one, Lord, that's going to be on the highways, Lord. Brother Isaac and Sister Tabitha are going to be gone, Lord, from us for a little while, Lord. And we pray that you bring them back to us, Father, safely. And be with each one traveling on this holiday season, that you'll be with each one there too also. Lord, we pray that you would, Lord, let us not focus on the world, but let us focus on you, Lord. Let us get all those things out of our mind and the time limits and all the different things, Lord, and let's just hear from you for just a few minutes. Yes. Father, we pray that you'd forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make, Lord. You're the one, Lord, the advocate. You're the high priest. You're the one that stands before us, Lord. And I thank you for that. No one else can do it. No other man can save another man. But Lord, you came down in human flesh and you saved a dying and lost people. I thank you for that, Lord. Don't ever let us forget Calvary. Don't ever let us forget what you did when you came here, Lord. We pray that you'd just be with us now, be with our pastor, keep him safe, Lord. Continue to heal him, Father, and bless each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who is this Son of Man? And boy, I enjoyed that, what Bob was preaching. Do you take this man? Oh, my goodness. Do you today? Do you take this man? This Son of Man. Because if he didn't come in human flesh, you wouldn't understand who he was. Amen. Amen? You would not understand this God that so awesome without him coming down here in human flesh, and then recorded it all in a book that you can read, and common people can read this book. Amen. Children can read this book and understand this man. But in the beginning was the Word. That's the whole focus. It all comes from the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now remember, He had to immorphe from that into flesh. He wasn't in human flesh yet. He was the Creator. He was the one, the theophany, the logos, the speech that we were talking about from a long time ago, 10 sermons ago, how that man come down, and he didn't develop. If I ever say he developed, he didn't develop. He come down here and immorphed into a form so that we could see him develop. Because remember, God don't have to prove himself. He knows who he is. But he does things to prove himself to us. That we can love him more, as Brother Dutch was talking about, we can love him more by having that faith in him, not anybody else. So in him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. Now thank God that light came down here. It didn't stay up there. It came down here in human flesh. And the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Always had to have a witness. See right here? The same came for a witness. John was a witness that Jesus Christ was who he was, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But now remember, he was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus told him one time, he said, if that light in you be darkness, he said, how great is that darkness? I ask you the same thing today. If that light that you think you have is darkness, how great is that darkness? What, it's deception. It's God of this evil age. It's anointed ones at the end time. False prophets, false shepherds, false Christ. And they're here. They're here. We see them every day. But there is a true light. There is a true people that's born again that knows the will of God, that knows the mind of God. Am I going too fast? Are you okay? Good. Okay. All right. Brother Anderson's trying to, y'all pray for him. He's interpreting for our brother back there. Thank God. Thank God. He sends Brother Luis among us, and then we have some Hispanic groups show up that needs interpretation. Or a preacher that comes in that does a really good job that would never have preached for us before because we didn't have an interpreter. God sends Brother Luis. And then Brother Anderson's been here for a while and probably never thought somebody from your country would be here. He's shaking his head no, but we have a brother now that we can, that he cannot sit there and not know what we're talking about. Amen. So God makes a way. If you'll do your part, God will do his part. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many, that's me, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh. We'll get into that a little bit later. Nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let's go to Hebrews 10:5. It says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body. A body hast thou prepared me. And in preparing that body, he prepared a body called the bride. Amen. Amen. So let's go to Daniel 7:13. I want to read this because I want to see where I want you to look where this Son of Man shows up real quick. We'll get into this a little bit today, and then we'll probably cover this several weeks from now. Daniel says, I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, praise God, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Listen, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. So that's everybody, not just the Jews. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which not shall be destroyed. I go back to Revelation 5. We got one sitting on the throne with a book in his hand. And then here comes the Lamb. And he reaches and gets the book. And he takes over. Climbs up and sits down on the throne. and has a dominion. And the government will be on his shoulder. We'll read that in just a little while. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing. It just, to me, it gets more clear and more clear and more clear, this plan of salvation and how that you and I are included in it. And the only way you're included in it, like we were talking about last night, the only way you're included in it is like Sister Tabitha said. She said, it's a choice. And that's what it is. It's a choice. The Bible says, choose you this day who you'll serve. You got to make a choice. It's not like you came this royal seed to begin with. No, you came a pauper. You came here with nothing. But in the mind of God, he knew what was going to happen. He knew your choice. As Brother Bob said, he knew the election part. God voted. Listen, God voted for everybody. Remember, the Bible says he would that all be saved. God didn't, but now remember, when God come to the earth, he wished it all would be saved, but he knew who would and who wouldn't, being what? By foreknowledge, being infinite, where you and I are finite, being infinite, he knew who would choose right and wrong. Because you go by and you look at, see where it says in the New Testament, it says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. You say, oh, well, God made a choice. No. God, by foreknowledge, knew which one would choose a birthright and knew which one wouldn't, and therefore he could say that. Right. Jeremiah, before you were formed in, you know, before you were formed in your womb, we always talk about Jeremiah. Put your name in there. Amen. If you come here, which you are, obviously, I can see you. If you're here, you're here for a purpose. Amen. And God, even put the egg and the sperm together to bring you here, knowing what part you'd already play. You just got to choose whether it's the right part or not, because he's infinite. He knows if you wouldn't have chose, what would have happened to you. Amen? But God, Jeremiah, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, I knew who you were. Well, you know what? He knew us before the foundation of the world too. I love what the prophet said. He brought this one and to this one and this one to this one and this one to this one just to get you here. But it's still what? Choice. He knew the choice you would make. Everybody had a choice. Even Cain. You know what? Even the devil had a choice. I made you perfect, he said. There in Ezekiel, I made you perfect. The anointed cherub. But when iniquity was found in your heart, it's when you turned into the devil. Amen? So we all have a choice. So let's get into this part. I always get off on that, but you got to come back. So let's look into masterpiece. And please read the masterpiece, because I want us to think that God's building a masterpiece, not just that sermon that was preached in 1964. He's building a masterpiece now. Amen. By the stature of a perfect man, that stature of a perfect man is actually building not a statue, because a statue never moves. But a stature of a perfect man, this man that we know came, the Son of Man came to earth to grow up. And as Brother Bob was preaching my sermon this morning, he learned by the things that he suffered and being made perfect. But here come the masterpiece. Let's read this in masterpiece. And then come finally the great head, the head of all of it. The rest of the body just spoke of it. The foundation was laid by the patriarch. But the body was built by the word, which was the prophets. And here comes the head of it all. Jesus came on the scene. There, when this headpiece was put upon it, we find in him the entire handiwork of God. We find in him the perfect reflection of the word, for he was the word, the fullness of the word. Now again, God has the perfect masterpiece again. Amen. Which is what? A collective body. Yes. You know, when Michelangelo started with that portrait or the image that he made of Moses, the image was already inside that big block of stone. But if me and you walked by and look at it, all we saw was probably a 3-foot square piece of granite. But that image was already inside. Same way with God. There we go. I'll believe that. I'll go with you when you were in the mind of God and you always was inside there. But listen, you had to develop. Somebody had chipped away the old you. Some of us big nuggets. Some of us little nuggets. But praise God, he did it for us. I don't care how we end up, as long as we end up in Christ. Amen? Hey, you got started. We were talking about journeys. Well, like I said, what's a testimony? It starts with a T-E-S-T. Testimony always starts with a test. To have a testimony. So everybody's got a testimony. I don't care how lily white you are, you got testimony, because if you're lily white and you think you're all right, you're not. I've never done anything. Well, yeah, don't worry about it. You were born. Let me just get, you were born. You were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, espoused from your mother's womb. I don't care if daddy put you in a closet somewhere and shut the door. You're still dead. You need Jesus Christ to be alive. And that's what we're talking about here, the masterpiece. Jesus came as the masterpiece, the headstone. That's why he was rejected in the church ages. He was rejected and had to come back in the end time as the Son of Man in a bride. Because we already read that many, many times where Brother Brown said they had just enough to get them through. Amen? Just enough to get them saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, live a good life, go to church. And that's all God required. But not today. Not today. He doesn't require that today. Our requirement is what? Fully. And that's what we were talking about last night. I don't understand why the people in this message can't make that sermon a central part of their whole theme of their church. It's growing up the statue of perfect man. I mean, you know, Brother Isaac was telling me that he talked to a preacher, and the preacher said, oh, you don't need that. Or it's just there. Or it's just something. I mean, Brother Brown wasted a lot of time preaching on the statue of perfect man. If he was wasting time. But he wasn't wasting time. He said, this is important. It's really, really, to me, you cannot take a body change unless you have these virtues working in your life. You can't be an adopted son of God if you don't have these virtues working in your life. Can't be. You can be a Christian. You can be stuck down that faith. Amen? That doesn't de-Christianize people. I want you to understand one thing. That doesn't de-Christianize you if you're not. But if your preacher only preaches this far, that's as far as you're going to get. Or are you going to leave him if you find something else? Brother Bram said that's the only reason you leave a church. Not because the song leader don't play your favorite songs. Or the deacon gets on your children. No, it's because the preacher's not preaching the word of God. That's the only reason you can leave. Amen? So I think we're getting the word of God preached to us. So don't go nowhere. We have a firm foundation. We have a good Zerubbabel that came here to this church and built a real good foundation for us to grow. And he took us right on up and rest a while. Just let him rest a little bit. Isaiah 7 verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9, 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, we say so much about the government. We will have a government. It won't be like this place, but we will have a government. There will be rulers and leaders and different things because the Bible said the kings of the earth will come into the city. Well, if he's a king of the earth, he's got to have subjects. So I don't understand all that and I don't have to worry about it. I just know we're going to live in the city and we know that that man is going to be sitting on the throne. And we're going to be the bride. We're going to be him made manifest in another form called a bride. And they're going to be able to talk to us as bride. That's my husband. What a proud thing. We should be proud of this. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David. You see, when they read this, when Caiaphas and all them read this, they knew that God was going to come, the Messiah was going to come as a baby. Excuse me, be born. They did tell me this new blood pressure medicine, I'd have a cough. Thank you, Satan. But anyway, get rid of it. But Caiaphas thought that he would know who it was. And this person would come to him because he was the religious person of the day. And says, look, says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. When Jesus Christ came, there was not peace on earth. I know it says peace on earth, goodwill to man. I know that. But that was only to certain people. Because they got persecuted, burnt, crucified upside down, pulled apart, eat by lions. But it doesn't matter. It's the end game we're looking at. Because look, it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Justice will be forever and ever. Isaiah 53:10. I'll condense this down a little bit because I like this. I want us to understand that Jesus Christ, he gave his soul a ransom for our sin. His body was a sacrifice. His body was just like they took the lamb and they threw the lamb on and burned it and give it the sacrifice. And a sweet-smelling Savior came. But it pleased the Lord to put, he had put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He had to die. He had to die for your sin. And then, see, I can look back to that and I can say, hey, there's where my sins went. There's where I can drop my sins off. Is at Calvary, because you said, Lord, in your word, you said, if he'll make an offering for sin, he shall see his what? His progeny. His seed. His bride. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Okay. Those who is justified, he's already glorified. All right. If you're truly justified. For he shall bear their iniquity. Mine and your iniquity. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Excuse me. Because he has poured out his what? Soul unto death. His soul.
Yes.
There was many men died for other many men. Heroes. Give their life. But that life was still just regular human life. And it couldn't go back into the believer.
That's right.
It couldn't make the comer therefore perfect, as we were reading there in Hebrews 10:5. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. We make them over and over. We dig up our sins. Over and over. Why? God's sitting there going, what sins are you talking about? He bare the sin of many and made intercession for me, the transgressor. But Caiaphas, they thought he would come to them and he was going to be this great person. And he was going to get them out of all their Roman rule. And you see, that was the thought of man. That was not what the Bible said. Amen. So now let's go to Luke 1:30. Talk about Mary. We were talking about last night about the, you know, Mary didn't come here with Jesus in her. She had to receive it. Amen? She had to receive it. She didn't come here with Jesus already in her. No. She had to receive it. She even had to go to Pentecost to get him in her soul. She actually birthed the child. Literally birthed him. But she had to go to Pentecost to get a new birth, because we'll read in a few minutes where Jesus' first doctrine was, you must be born again. Or we'll go and get into it this afternoon. We won't get into it this morning. But what about a doctrine? That should be our doctrine. Amen. You must be born again.
Yes.
Keep hammering it, pound it. How do I do it, brother Wade? Just keep listening to the Word of God.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
That's the only thing that'll mold you, people. It won't be any emotion, as Brother Bob said. It won't be any emotion. It won't be fast music. It won't be filling the pews up where we have to build a new building. That's not it.
Amen.
The great church in Ephesus had 12 people. We've got more musicians than 12. But I'm like one of the brothers, I think it was Martin St. Martin. He said, I would to God, I want every person in my church to be born again. And that should be the theme of this church. I know we're already, we've got many, we've been taught well. But we've got new ones coming in that needs to be born again. And as I told you a year or so ago, I said, God told me he would not leave you behind. So trust that. He will not leave you behind. I might not be able to do it, but somebody will be able to do it. Brother Dale's done it. Brother Bob, all of us pieced together. If you'll just listen to the Word of God. Forget about all the fallacies and if we say a name wrong or if we say a year wrong, but listen to what God's give you. Amen. Listen to what God's talking to you. God, talk to me today. Talk to me today. I'm not worried about this other person over here. Talk to me today. Amen. When we do that, though, we see that God then did come and died for you. He died for me. I mean, even Jesus, we'll get to it this afternoon. Jesus, you know, John 3:16, that's Jesus speaking. We quote, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. That's Jesus talking to Nicodemus after he said, you must be born again. It's in the same conversation. He's assuring you. The man that's going to save you, give you that promise. I will save you if you'll accept me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son of Man. Amen? But that Son of Man had a soul. And that soul was the soul of God. That was the Son of God. Not a Son of God, that was the Son of God. Amen? Inside of that Son of Man, and that Son of Man is what come to earth to give us eternal life. Because the Son of God was all before the foundation of the world. We know that. We studied that. Right? The Son of God was the Creator. That was Spirit God. That was Jehovah. That was the man that come down in the cloud at the tabernacle. Same God. But they couldn't see him. Because he couldn't save them at the time. Listen, like I said, there's nobody got the new birth in the Old Testament. Because there was no new birth to give. There hadn't been a first birth yet. As far as Jesus coming and coming birthing and then dying, because Melchizedek's not your brother and my brother, because he was just created. The captain of the host. All these great ones that we saw in the Old Testament. Even Moses. I mean, Moses was so much like God, till they had to shield his face. His face just glowed. I wish some of y'all would be that way. Let your face show what you got inside of you. And some of you do. Doesn't take a lot of discernment, Dad, does it? But I want everybody born again. So we're going to preach it as hard, and if you don't like it, then I don't know. But you can't leave here because we're preaching the Word of God. I don't care if you don't mind, you don't like what Brother Boyd sings on Wednesday night. You must be born again. That's what counts. Amen? That'll put that brotherly kindness inside of you. That's why it's way up there on the top of that pyramid. Because it's hard to do. Hello, somebody. It's very hard to do. It's real hard to love your neighbor as you do yourself. Much less somebody sitting beside you in the pew. Don't be looking over at each other. The angel said, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Now, he didn't say, now, Mary, that thing's always been inside there. We just wait until you get 16 or 17 years old and then just boom. You always was this. No, she had to receive. You know what she had to do? She had to say, be it unto me.
Yes.
A choice.
Yes.
She had to choose. Whether to accept that or not. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and of his kingdom. I like this. There shall be no end. There shall be no end. So this baby is born, and we'll fast forward to the gold, frankincense, and myrrh part. Matthew 2:11. When they were coming to the house, this is a couple of years after Jesus was born, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we know what that means. Brother Brown tells us, and God's gift always finds their places. Watch this. The Magi, they brought him. Watch the gifts they brought him, identified what they thought he was. Now, I was thinking about this the other day. We See, we throw a lot of that on Jesus, and we throw a lot of that on Jesus. Go to the next. Go to the quote, please. We throw a lot. But what about me and you? What gifts can you have? Have you asked God to give you a gift? Have you ever asked God, not just to give you revelation, a gift? Our Lord, tell me what gift I have. Because the Bible says, stir up the gift that's inside of you. Somebody will come along and stir up a gift that you need to use. Amen? Because we believe in all nine. We believe in all the spiritual gifts, not just one or two. We believe in all of them, but we don't go fanatical on all of them where we just go with two or three of them and forget it. No. Because watch what Brother Bram said. The gift they brought him identified what they thought he was. They brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now watch what these symbols that I want to talk to you about, what these symbols mean. I've got some scripture wrote down. We'll read them in a minute. Now gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Now gold in the Bible, how fitting it fits to Christ. And what are you? Christ may manifest in another form. So this is gifts that the people are bringing to you. Think about that. Not just Jesus 2,000 years ago. We got to quit that. Because as we were talking last night, your journey, though, everybody's journey is different. If we had the same testimony, it would be a little boring. Oh, I've heard that before. No, everybody's testimony is different. Yeah, right. And we glory that our testimony is different because I might have had to overcome this, you might have had to overcome this. Well, I'm trying to overcome this and you've already overcome it. Uh-huh. Then you're my help. Yeah. You're going to help me overcome that. Amen. You, the bride of Jesus Christ, are going to help me overcome these things. Right. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, gold in the Bible, how fitting it fits to Christ because gold speaks of deity. Didn't Brother Brown say we were deity? If we have the new birth, we are deity, right? Well, get to that in just a moment. Frankincense speaks of service. What about us? And myrrh means death. Yeah, you gotta die. Every one of these, there's an opposite of that. Brother Isaac, there's an opposite of that. You have a temper. You don't have patience. You don't have godliness. You don't have knowledge. You don't have virtue. Right? That's an opposite of that. Because you're living with this that I don't have. That Satan's given me or my old nature's given me. Right? Then we gotta be transformed into that to where we get godly patience. We get godly virtue. We get godly knowledge. We get godly patience. That's a death. Every one of them is a death. Sure, the old you's dead in your soul, but it's not in your spirit realm. The old you's still there. It just moved out into another realm called a memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. We were talking last night, you know, Paul told us that if we were born again, we were sitting in heavenly places. And that's what I said first of last year. What you got inside of you, you need to let it start working. Because if you're born again, your soul is in another dimension. This is not so to your soul. If we realize that, then death is going to be destroyed because it's got to come from that inside guy that finally says, there is no death in me. Because this outside guy, by memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, you remember when you were younger. Amen? That's what gets me. I can't do the things I used to do. Or if I do, it takes me a lot longer. And I have to rest in between all of it, whatever it is. Amen? Kids, man, they'll just get up and they'll run, play. Where's Esther? Out till 1 o'clock in the morning. Just making a point. And still be all right. Man, I was at Boyd's till 9 o'clock last night. I should have been in the bed. We were partying. 9 o'clock. You understand what I mean, though? That memory, reason, conscious affection, that's what's bothering us more than... our soul's not bothering you if you're born again. How could your soul bother you if it's God? It's your memory, reason, conscious affection, imagination. So it's a death that's got to happen. God, deity, and service to die, and that's what he was. The very thing that he brought identified what they thought he was. Now listen, I want to ask you the question. That's my question to you today. Is the gift that God's give you or has not give you yet, or you don't know you have yet, is it identifying who you are? I believe God's identified a gift in me and the preachers here because we're ministers of the gospel.
Yes, that's right.
He's identified that.
Yes.
Some of you are suppressing that. But anyway. But no, that will identify, and you got to develop into it. Like Brother Dale always said, you need to run from it. If anybody jumps up and says, "Oh, I got born again yesterday, I'm ready to preach," Brother Dale will put you downstairs in the Sunday school class for a little while and let you learn a little bit. It's the way he did me. You know how I got started when I started coming back to church? He let me open service like he does Brother Terrence back then. Now, that's how I got started. I still do that. Took up offering the other day, but we move on to that. But we move on because of the gift that God's give us. That's what you and I want you to develop your gift. And use it. Don't put it on a shelf and say, "That sure is a pretty gift up there." No, put it inside yourself and use it. Listen, use it for the glory of God and it'll never go wrong. Never. We make human mistakes all day long, yes, but if you do something for God, it's not a mistake. It's a journey. Now let's watch this right here. God's gift always find their places. This is same quote, but it's number 55. It says, how fitting these gifts were to Christ's journey on earth. A baby born here on earth. And these gifts that the wise men brought him fitted just exactly his commission from God and his journey on earth. Now that's the same way with me and you. Now, the first thing that was God, and we know, watch what he says. I love this part. He says, he wasn't nothing less than God. He was God manifested in the flesh. He was the creator in his own creation. Now, what? He was the creator in his creation, by the creation, for the creation. Amen? He was the creator of his own creation.
Yes.
No one else can do that.
That's right.
I was reading this morning. Jesus stood up one day and he said, destroy this temple. And I'll raise it up in 3 days. Well, boy, here goes the people that come to church just every once in a while. What does he mean? That temple's been 40-something years building that temple. He wasn't talking about a regular temple. He was talking about himself. And you know what? He proved it several days later. He took that and raised it up, that temple that everybody thought he was talking about, brick and mortar. He was a being on earth, a being of time. We were talking about this last night. You know, actually, God comes out of eternity. A faster dimension. Travel like a thought. I mean, what, speed of light's what, 120,000 miles per second or whatever it is. It's phenomenal how light travels. But God's faster than that. Because he created that. So the creator's got to be better than that. But he had to slow himself down to come into this dimension to feel death that was not in the dimension that he had been in for an eternity. He comes down into time, made himself, the Bible says, a little lower than the angels. So he could taste death for me and you. Taste death for me and you. Show me another God. Kids, go online. Find me one of them gods. That'll do that. All them imaginary gods and all these other gods that people have, guess what? They're way up here and you're way down here.
Yes. Amen.
You do what he says or he zaps you. No, our God come down here with us.
Amen.
And died for us so that he can take us back up to where he's at.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve.
Yes.
Where's Sister Johnny at? She's at home, sitting at home. I know what she just said. She said, what a mighty God we serve. If you ever talk to her on the phone, you hear that about 25 times. And that's okay because she means what she says. What a mighty God we serve. He wasn't nothing less than God. He was God manifested. So he created himself a body. I gotta get fast here. So he might save the lost creation that he had created. God's wrapped gift, number four. Let's go on to number four. Jehovah lying in a cradle, crying like a baby. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine all the things that he had to go through? But remember, he was, Revelation 3:14, he was the beginning of the creation of God. That's how God wanted to be at the beginning. He wanted to live in human flesh with his children in this eternal dimension. Because that's what we're going back to. He had to come out of that dimension. That's why I said, if your soul is born again today, it's in another dimension. It's in heavenly places.
Amen.
Sitting in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, up here somewhere in another dimension, because it's not, it's always, listen, if you're born again, your soul, I said your soul, has got to be contrary with everything in this dimension.
Absolutely.
Amen. Memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, first three dimensions, and number four also, because that's radio waves, that's all contrary to God. It's contrary to what's inside of you.
Yes.
That's why the greatest battle ever fought.
Amen. Come on.
It's internal.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
It's affected by external,
yes, sir.
But it's an internal battle.
That's right.
If you don't battle with yourself every day,
Amen.
You ain't born again.
Amen.
See that? What's you? It's in the Bible. She even watches some of our sermons and she said, I reached and grabbed that thing and said, it's in the Bible. These kids listen a lot more than you think they do. So praise God for that. But the beginning of the creation of God, why did he do that though? He did it so you and I could go back to the mind of God and be his children. He wanted us to get out in the beginning. But Adam and Eve cut it off because of the fall. But God created himself a body. He came down and lived in it. That's the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, isn't he wonderful? How could God be created if he's a spirit? How could he be? He's eternal. He never was created. He never will be created because he was God at the beginning. Now he's talking about the Logos. He's talking about the Son of God. But there had to develop a Son of Man. He that is the beginning of the creation of God was Jesus Christ. Look, when he was made manifest. When he was made manifest. Now what are me and you? We're God made manifest in another form,
yes,
called Mrs. Jesus Christ, the bride. Amen. No more, no less. Oh, I think of the wedding ceremonies, and tonight we're going to, or this afternoon, I don't think I got to it, and may not get to it anyway. What was the first miracle that Jesus did? He was invited to a wedding. And they run out of wine. And he turned the water into wine. Six pots. After six church ages, he shows up. Because there's really seven pots there. There's six pots, and he's standing at the end of it. The Son of Man. And it didn't say he prayed. It didn't say he run his hands across of it. It didn't even say he touched it. He just said, fill those with water. And his mother said, you better do what he says. Now, I don't know if she had a revelation of that or not. We'll get into it this afternoon. But we'll look at that scene where Jesus was there at a wedding. And he was invited to the wedding. So we'll get into that. So the beginning of the creation of God. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus Christ when he was made manifest. But also remember, let's go to Luke 2 verse 39. We read this last Sunday. And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He didn't get up every morning and say, bless God, I'm God. No, I believe he learned by the things that he suffered. Because the Bible said he did. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, he went to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they were all, the days had been fulfilled, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. They lost Jesus. Haven't we, every once in a while, we lose Jesus? Amen? We don't need to lose him. You know where you're going to find him? Where'd they find him at? In church? I got a few amens. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. He wasn't up there going, now look, this two scenes that we're going to look at here just for a minute, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. He was 12. That's really all he could do, because he wasn't mature enough. But he was able to go in and ask questions, because we're going to see in a few minutes in Luke chapter 4, he goes in the temple and they listen to him. That's his part of his development as he gets older. Same thing with me and you. Listen, if you can't look at Jesus' life and somewhat parallel yours, you can't parallel every bit of it, because he was born virgin born and he didn't ever have a wife or children or anything like that. But don't tell me Satan didn't bother him, because when we read the other day, look how many times Satan come to him, those times that we were talking about in the wilderness, and the Bible says that he left him for a season. He didn't say he left him all the time. Because I believe even in the Garden of Gethsemane, there were angels came to strengthen him. He must have been having a little trouble. He was fighting it out, Brother Brown said. He fought it out in the garden. He didn't fight it out at Calvary. He fought it out in the garden. Amen? I like what a preacher said the other day too. I was reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the story of the five loaves and the two fishes. He said, see there? He said, the preacher or the shepherd is there with the food, and the Bible says in one account that he had them go sit out in the grass. Well, what do you do with lambs? You put them out in the pasture. You put them out in the grass. And then he fed them. How wonderful. You continue and look at all this and you think, well, yeah, it happened naturally, but there's a spiritual aspect to everything that Jesus did. I don't think Jesus did things haphazardly. He was a man. He probably got sick. He probably needed to eat. The Bible said he did. Got hungry. He was so hungry he wanted to eat off a tree, and the tree didn't have no fruit on it. And I don't know if you can say he got mad at it or not, but he sure cursed it. He said, there will never be fruit come off of you again. Bible said he was hungry. Right? I want us to see this whole series that yes, he was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, virgin born, fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yes.
No doubt for that.
That's right.
But we separate ourselves so far away from that, because we were born in sin. We do have iniquity. We do have these things. But what's God trying to do? Is he trying to push us away and keep reminding us of how bad these things are? I thought the Bible said he was drawing us to himself. To that character that's right here. He's drawing us to that character. That's what that is. That's the character of Jesus Christ. That's what he portrayed on earth. Why do you think Peter didn't just pull these out of the sky. Peter, the great Peter, cursed God, always wanting to cut somebody's head off. Does that sound familiar? For most of us with an attitude. And he was picked to preach the statue of a perfect man in the Bible. Add to your faith virtue. The virtue knowledge, I'm sure while he's writing it, probably tears were dropping out of his eyes. He said, God, you saved me from that. I was a raw fisherman, cursed. The Bible said he didn't have clothes on half the time. Remember, he had to put clothes on when he come back from fishing. He was just a raw fisherman. Now, why didn't God choose a rabbi that didn't have any sin? Because he never touched a woman. He always washed his hands. Rachel, I meant to talk to your mama about that. I forgot. Rachel's mama thinks we don't wash our hands enough. I started to say, well, Jesus must not have washed his hands much either, because they accused his disciples of not washing their hand. Remember? But they get into all that. Jesus looked at him one day and said, you've made these traditions, not the word of God. He said, you've made your traditions. In other words, you've made that over the word of God, and everybody goes by your tradition. And he said, that's what's killing you. Your traditions. denominational ideas is what's killing you. But they found him in the temple. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Now, Jesus didn't jump up and say, bless God, you ought to know he's not my daddy. No. He said, wished you not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not. I can't believe that, but I guess I do believe it. And they understood not what he said. You see how misunderstood the Son of Man is? That's why it's so hard. That's why it's hard for all of us to truly understand. Because listen, you get born again, everything's good. So far, when you get born again first, you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and man, it's all bed of roses, and then all of a sudden, God goes, you need to grow up. And he pulls a rug out from under you. He goes on vacation and don't talk to you for years or months. Lets you fight it out in your garden. Amen? Are you no less child? No. You're not less child. He's wanting you to grow up. Because this same Jesus, look at verse 51. He came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. In other words, that didn't hurt his feelings. He just kept going, kept doing what he was supposed to do. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. How about me and you? Hebrews 5:8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Amen. We go into that book of Galatians and Hebrews and we keep reading and we see that you and I, if you're born again, you're a son and daughter of God, but you're under tutors and governors. Preachers. Sunday school teachers. Press play. Whatever you want to call it. You're under tutors and governors. What? Trying to get you to quit crying. Be a man. Don't be a baby all the time. You got to feed the baby for it to grow. Look at Isaac. He's 8'12", or going to be, and so is he. Your poor old mama, bless her heart, when y'all was both at home, can boys not eat? Can boys not eat? That's how they become men, though. They eat. They become men because they eat. You become a good Christian because you eat. You become a mature son and daughter of God, that God can use you. And we don't have to. I want to make a point here real quick. I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, I never took any kind of medication in my life. None. Vitamins. That's all. And I'll not tell you what those are because you'll make a doctrine out of it. But I took vitamins. And then all of you know what happened. I took the first shot. I sure did. I done told you about that. And 5 days later, my blood pressure was 210 over 110, and I ain't been right since. Well, my body ain't. I ain't been right for a long time. You don't have to laugh. Hurt my feelings. So anyway, if I had any, it would hurt. Right, boys? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So anyway, so I was thinking the other day, I thought, Lord, you know, and we are, and I don't make this as a dish because I'm taking medicine now. But folks, what are we going to do when we can't find that medication? What are we going to do when you can't get in the CVS? What are we going to do when the doctor can't prescribe you a heart pill? Listen, that's when that's going to take over. Not it, baby. That's when that's going to take over. That's when that's going to be the adoption to with the redemption of your body, because it's going to have to start with me not having to take a blood. If I have to, listen, I have to take a blood pressure pill, or my blood pressure goes 180 over 100. What am I going to do when I can't get that pill? What are you going to do when you can't, whatever it is, X, Y, Z, put whatever pill you take, or salve, or whatever you buy that you can't get no more, when this thing gets bad? See, we're living now under the privileges of being able to buy these things. But there's going to be a time when if we're going to be physically bereft, which I believe that's what Brother Brown meant, we won't be able to get to a doctor. We're not going to be able to get to a pharmacist and get our medication. And look, I'm not saying anything about medication. I'm on it now myself. But what are we going to do? You know what? Well, it's not here. It's over there. I got a little pill container that I carry with me, and I make sure that thing's in my pocket all the time. Just like y'all with your cell phones. When y'all lose your cell phone, I see you downstairs. You go, where's my cell phone? I don't care if my kids are in the road. Where's my cell phone? I mean, really. It's what we get used to hanging on to, is what I'm saying. We get used to hanging on to these things, and we get a little easy in Zion. I want us to start praying, though, that God will help us. He said He would. He said He would protect us. Right? He even said when they come and start talking to you, that God will put in your mouth what you need to say to that person. Not a baby. Because a baby's going to fall apart. Amen? But not a mature person. A mature person is going to what? Be able, yet learn he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect. Made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that choose him or obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. All right, we're not going to get anywhere, so we need to skip some of this. Everybody all right? We okay? All right, Jesus goes to the River Jordan. We know what that is. That's the type of your water baptism. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. And we know what Brother Brown said in the future home. He said, this is my part of the earth that I have redeemed, and from this part, I'll redeem the rest of it. Jesus didn't come to just redeem your soul.
That's right. Amen.
He could have just sent the Holy Ghost and redeemed your soul. Right? But He came in a body. So that it could be redeemed. It had to be made eternal. His body. This is my part of the earth that I have redeemed. You don't have to catch up with me if you don't, too, guys. And from this part of the earth, I will redeem the rest of it. For He is my word made manifest. Now, what are you? What are you? Are you not His word made manifest? Listen, Satan is even the word made manifest. So be careful. We are the Word of God.
Amen.
The part of God that wrote it made manifest in another form called a bride. Because Satan didn't write the Word of God. He hates it. So he did not write it. Okay? So I'm going to come and dwell in it. Luke 4 verse 1. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Wow. Jesus had to be full of the Holy Ghost? Yeah. It wasn't that he didn't have it. Because, and we're going to get into it this afternoon. There had to be a ministry come into play. Jesus didn't come to the River Jordan to get baptized to get the Holy Ghost. Everybody understand that? He was the Holy Ghost. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What is the fullness of the Godhead bodily? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All three in one. Amen? So He didn't need the Holy Ghost, but He needed an anointing for His ministry. Because that anointing had to come off of Him and come back into me and you.
Yes. Amen.
To have the ministry of the Son of Man, you've got to have the characteristics of the Son of Man here.
Amen.
That's why God had to send us a prophet. That's why Jesus had to go into the book of Luke 4 and open the book. Now let's get to that just a minute and then we'll close. Is that okay? Now we remember that when He went to the wilderness, being 40 days tempted, He said, it is written. We talked about this last week. Verse 8, it is written. Now look in verse 12, it is said. In other words, I'm talking to you now, devil. I'm not just quoting Scripture. Listen, you quote Scripture all you want to. But if there's no power behind it, right? Remember Brother Branham comes up and he says, hey, you can scream Father, Son, Holy Ghost all the time. And remember he tried it that one time when the demons lifted that table up off the ground. And he said, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I command you to fall. He said, they never even moved. He said, but when I looked at that table and said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the name they were scared of. That thing hit the floor. Amen. So it is the way we approach God. Not just some haphazard way. We got to go by His name. But He said it, in other words, finally He said, listen, Satan, I'm talking to you. We need to do that sometime. You know, we want God to talk to us. Well, we know the devil talks to us a lot more than God does. Hello, somebody. Amen? If not you, pray for me, please. Because He does talk to me a lot more than God does. Man? So I want to look at Satan. I said, look, you say it is written, it is written, it is written. But what did He say one day you're going to be able to say? I say unto you. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Not quote scripture. People have quoted that scripture for 2,000 years. And they ain't a physical mountain ever moved. But one day, your mountain will move. Let's start talking back to Satan. If he hates the word, just give him the word. And you know, we even look at him and say, devil, I know you've been around me all my life. You were in me for a while. You've been around me all your life. I'm like Brother Maloney said. He said, Satan, if you're going to get into these, my brain and my eyes, we're going to read the Bible. That's a good idea. Have you ever had Satan bother you and you start singing or start reading the Bible or praying? He leaves. He can't stand it. But maybe we need to do that more. That's why Brother Brown said, pray and read your Bible. That's two things to get closer to God. Not closer to the devil, closer to God. Pray and read your Bible. All right? Everybody okay? Let me get to this real quick and then we'll close. And we're going to get into this a couple weeks from now, but remember, who was the sower of the seed? Not the Son of God. The Bible tells us plainly. Jesus even tells the parable and then He goes back, right? And they said, can you explain this to me? He said, the sower of the seed is the Son of Man. The seed is the Word. Man? So He came to sow the Word. There wouldn't be a Bible without Jesus Christ coming on earth. Oh, you got the Old Testament, but who was He speaking of? That man coming on earth. So He had to tie everything together. All right, so let's go to Luke 4, verse 16. This is where we were at to the other day. And He came to Nazareth. Remember, He was in Nazareth. He was 13 years old. And He sat in the temple and He talked to the people and asked them questions, right? Listen to Him, the Bible says. But now He's coming a little bit different way. He's a little bit older than He used to be. He's a little more mature than He used to be. He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And it was delivered to Him. Closed. Because He takes the book and opens it. You know what He said? And when He had opened the book, or opened the scroll, what did He do? He didn't randomly pick a scripture. I don't think they just handed Him the sheet of paper that was in Isaiah. They handed Him the Bible. And this thing's huge. You ever seen one? I mean, they roll that thing out on a table, and I mean, it's this thick to roll it out. So that was the Torah. That was the five books that Moses wrote, plus all the minor prophets. But He found the place where it's written. That's my point today. Have you found the place where He wrote about you? Because if He did, Brother Brown tells us, and I'll read it next week maybe, or maybe I'll find it this afternoon. I forgot it this morning, or yesterday when I was looking at this. Brother Brown said the most powerful anointing to ever strike the earth was not when Moses parted the Red Sea, was not when David killed Goliath, all these great things that we think of. It was when Jesus sat down and read a scripture that pertained exactly to Him and the time He was living in. Why'd Brother Brown say when the bride realizes who she is and what she's doing here? Right here's our example. He found his place. Watch. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover the sight of the blind. Did he not do all that? Amen. And to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now remember, that scripture continues on. Yes. But it pertains to his second coming, not his first coming. Amen. See, if he'd have read that, he'd have been in his second coming. He read the scripture that pertained to the day and hour he was sitting right where he was sitting. That's why Brother Brandon preached, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your heart. This day. Can you say that? And he closed the book. You know, he started preaching after that. He went out on his ministry. He closed the book. They didn't understand him after that. They didn't understand him much before that, but I don't believe they understood him after that. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness, watch, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, this just a normal preacher? Is this not Joseph's son? No, it wasn't. And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we... Let's keep reading. There you go. But I tell you the truth. He said, oh, look. Whatsoever you have heard done in Capernaum, do also in the country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. He was just a common person to them. He was so common that he was just Joseph's son. Old Brother Bill, you know, all the people in Jeffersonville, they just call him Brother Bill. They didn't know he was a prophet in the end time, prophet in the last day, the Elijah to come in the end time. Most people did not know that. Because, what? No prophet is honored in his own country. Now, everywhere else, he'd go overseas, he's a prophet. Prophet visits South Africa, prophet this, prophet that. But when he came to his own people, he was so common. So they just thought he was just this person. Let's go to John 5, verse 25. This is where we'll get to this afternoon. And this is going to skip forward a little bit. I'm going to keep in the book of John, if you're studying Scripture, to look at the Son of Man, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they give you a lot of his early years of commentary. They talk about his life and all that. Okay? John 5, he's already on the week of his death. That's how John 5 runs you through his life. So I want you to read, watch. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear him shall live. You say, Brother Wade, we're talking about the Son of Man, but watch. For as the Father, who's the Father? Son of God. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son of Man, to the Son, to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. The transfer of power over to the Son of Man. Now watch. Let's go to Daniel 7, verse 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down in the Ancient of Days. Now we're already over now after the tribulation, it's the white throne judgment. But watch what happened. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. Now we know who that is. That's Jesus Christ, right? The hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Fire stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. That's us. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. That is not us. That's the bride at the top up here ministered unto him, and these down here are standing in judgment. And the judgment was set, and the books were open. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain. They're symbols to this, and we know who that is. And his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. But now that was inserted, but watch. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. Now it's the same person. Everybody got that? It's just different manifestation. Revelations 5. One sitting on the throne, one taking the hand of the book. Who was that? That was the Son of Man taking it from the Father. But not two people. A manifestation of the same person. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion. Listen, folks. We'll stop right here. We'll read the rest of that later. Listen. You take Jehovah in the Old Testament, under the law, we're all dead. You know what the Bible says? Under the law, we're all dead. Under the Son of God, the pure manifestation of Jehovah, the God of glory, the one that never sinned a day in his life, the one that has eternal life. If he stayed in heaven, we're in trouble. Right? But he had to be transferred. That power had to be transferred to a man on earth. And that was his power transferred down and became human flesh called Jesus Christ. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. This afternoon we'll talk about that kingdom. Let's stand to our feet. Because what did John say? First thing John preached, the kingdom of heaven is here. Kingdom of heaven is near. Then Jesus starts preaching, and he said, you must be born again to get into this kingdom. Their message was the same. But we serve a living God. We serve a God that's been so gracious to us till he didn't leave when he ascended. He just left for about 10 days and then came right back down into people again. Amen. And morphed into the bride of Jesus Christ, which that's me and you. All right, let's sing a song. We'll just sing one song and then we'll be dismissed. It's 12 o'clock.
Have you been baptized into the body? Baptized with the Holy Ghost. There is just one way to enter in it.
Pentecost. Y'all be careful going home. We'll be praying for you.
Triumphant. Are you in the Savior's bride? Come and be baptized into this body and forevermore abide.
As we sing, you're dismissed. See you at 2 o'clock. God bless you.